From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. With overnight temperatures reaching lows in the mid-40s this week, today's installment from News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams explores how a subtropical cold snap can impact our perceptions here in Southwest Florida.
I know something is amiss when I see the little cloud above Guccifer's head. Then Grammy flatfoots over, and she has one too, floating over her white crest like a cartoon thought bubble. Though as far as I can tell, our geese don't do a whole lot of thinking. It's their breath, hanging in the still air as they stand in front of the pond as if deciding whether to brave the dark water. Soon as I open the door, it hits me, a stinging wall of chill. I step onto the wooden deck, and it's like walking into Listerine. With a gasp, I jump back into the house. Funny thing, a Southwest Florida cold snap. The scenery stays the same, Spanish moss and palm fronds and tangerine trees, but the air around it changes. And I don't just mean the temperature. The cold seems to bring a bracing gleam to the light, at once golden and sharp. Shadows are more darkly incised, while highlights all but glow. Our kumquat tree is a study in contrasts, layers of emeralds shivering and shimmering atop the chestnut shade they cast, the leafy chiaroscuro glittering with golden fruit. No wonder the dogs are chasing each other around like mad things, their bodies flattened like greyhounds into turf-tearing circles until they collide in spinning somersaults, a flying tangle of tails, ears, and legs. The cold does that to our critters, bumps them out of their regular orbits and into bouts of manic glee. The kids, too, though Florida teen to the bone DP, still won't wear shoes and socks unless sternly admonished. Until a few years ago, his little brother Nash would bundle himself up with studious intensity. Over his T-shirt, he'd button a white Oxford cloth shirt before zipping himself into a yellow hooded jacket, which he topped with a plastic camouflage helmet. All that over a pair of black velvet stretch pants, girls, but I never told him, that I bought for him at Goodwill one Halloween when he was vacillating between Jake Blues and Darth Vader. He loved those pants, which eventually became so high and tight I couldn't look at him without seeing a mini Iggy Pop. And, to my immense credit, I refrained from teaching him I want to be your dog. These days, he contents himself with a military surplus jacket. While the kids march out into the cold, I turn my attention to breakfast and soon have a pot of oatmeal bubbling ploppily on the stove. Meanwhile, Roger has turned up the thermostat, just to see what happens, he tells me. But when the house fills with that freaky first heat of the year burnt hair smell, we decide we can get by without help from our Florida furnace. We let the boys play a bit more. They're hard at it, shooting hoops and chasing ducks and wrestling dogs. And when I call them in, their foreheads are damp and their breath is coming in steaming puffs, too. As I take Nash's jacket, I ask him how he likes this cold weather. I do, he says, a lot. Then he tugs off his T-shirt and mops his brow. Just one problem, he tells me. It makes me too hot.